Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my good colleague Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently Civitas Outlook for Civitas Institute, remarks about a new book by Robert Kaplan, the distinguished geopolitical commentator. The title of the book is Wasteland, A World in Permanent Crisis, or is it? Peter, a very good evening to you. The theme is straightforward enough. We're in decline worldwide. However, I understand through your presentation, Mr. Kaplan has chosen three empires to illustrate that decline. The first is the Russian Empire. It might seem obvious, but the Russian Empire has a narrative right now that it's reawakening to its strength. It's putting together back its buffer zone. It's near abroad. It's a character that Europe cannot ignore. Now, that is the Russian point of view. What is Mr. Kaplan's point of view? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, first, Mr. Kaplan puts things in a larger historical context. He reminds us that for a couple of centuries, Europe has thought of Russia as its, quote, principal dilemma. And the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991 didn't end that understanding of Europe as Russia as its principal dilemma. It just transformed the shape. No longer did Russian nationalism threaten Europe in the form of Soviet totalitarianism. Now Russian nationalism was direct, was obvious, was spoken of by Vladimir Putin. And so the Russian side of it is that today is that, Russia's getting its mojo back. Look, it's retaking land that has really always belonged to it, Ukraine. But the other side of the coin, and this is what Kaplan emphasizes, Russia is a country of 143 million people. It's been fought more or less to a standstill by a country of, 44 million people. Pardon me again. This is not a great victory for Russia. They've been locked in a war of attrition ever since Ukraine's failed offensive of the summer of 2023. Therefore, Kaplan says, actually, the Russian Empire more resembles the sick man of Eurasia, an echo of the Ottoman Empire as the sick man of Europe, for its inability to defeat Ukraine on the battlefield.
The overall theme is there's a global crisis. It's not about Russia only. Russia is illustration of that global crisis. How does he describe the crisis? Where do we look, Peter?
Well, the next place we look, the next place that Kaplan instructs us to look is, of course, China, run by the Chinese Communist Party. And there also some historical perspective is useful. Since Mao Zedong left power, since the time in the late 70s, early 80s, that the Chinese Communist Party introduced capitalist elements into its economy, China has enjoyed extraordinary growth. China has turned itself into the world's second largest economy. China has emerged as a great power. And the Chinese Communist Party has let it be known that its ambition is to remake world order, put Beijing in the center, and make that new world order friendly to authoritarian states. But here, too, Kaplan says not so fast. Xi Jinping's diehard authoritarianism is actually exacerbating serious difficulties that the People's Republic of China faces. What are those problems? Well, slowing growth, aging population, a shrinking workforce, rising social and political tensions in China. So one could reasonably conclude with Kaplan, not that China is on an inevitable path of decline. But the Chinese Communist Party faces some very serious challenges in the coming years and decades.
And the third empire in decline is obvious. We go right to the United States of America. What evidence does he have for the decline?
Yes, well, there again, too, Kaplan says, we must appreciate that the United States remains, I think the phrase he uses is, a powerful behemoth. You and I can call it the greatest experiment in ordered liberty there ever was, and still the freest, most prosperous, most tolerant, multiracial, multireligious, multiethnic nation the world has ever seen. However, Kaplan emphasizes, since the presidency of George H.W. Bush, we have seen a decline in the quality of leadership at the top echelons of our political life. And second, I think less debatable, more obvious, more widely felt today, is the rising enmity that American citizens feel for one another, or to speak more precisely, the enmity that the right feels for the left and the enmity that the left feels for the right. Without a certain basic political cohesiveness, it's hard to do the hard work of maintaining a free society and rising to the challenges that foreign affairs presents.
Now, we put those three empires together. There's no other competition. Europe is not organized enough to call it an empire. They're shoppers looking for deals. However, the analogy, if I understand correctly, is to the Weimar Republic, short-lived and a disaster. How so?
Well, yes, Kaplan uses that analogy, actually not to illustrate the domestic policies of any of the three great powers he considers, Russia, China, or the United States. No, to describe the situation that has crystallized in foreign affairs. What does he mean? The short-lived Weimar Republic tried to stitch together various German-speaking societies, towns, villages, segments. They were knit together by the Weimar Republic. They were more dependent upon one another. What happened in one part of the Republic had reverberations for what happened in other parts of the Republic. But the Weimar Republic was weak. It was incoherent. Even though the fate of one depended on the fate of the other, the Weimar Republic did not manage to govern itself in a coherent manner. This, Kaplan says, describes international affairs. Thanks to revolutions in transportation and telecommunications, successive revolutions over two centuries, the world is knitted together more tightly than it ever has been. The outbreak of the war in the Indo-Pacific will have direct, maybe massive, consequences for those of us who live half a world away from the region, or at least I should say from parts of the region. But we have nothing like, argues Kaplan, a rules-based order that enables us to mediate disputes and impose order and manage the controversies that are now more likely to arise. He takes COVID-19 as an example. He also brings forward climate change as an example. He also brings the challenges that we face in reining in nuclear proliferation to illustrate the point.
What is to be done? If I understand it correctly, Mr. Kaplan does not believe that decline is foreordained. What is the recommendation?
Yes, he does not believe it is foreordained, although he's quite worried about the matter. And he really doesn't quite explain to us how to get out of our predicament, but he does, interestingly, identify what is needed. His argument is, especially for the United States, there is no salvation for us unless we find a way to return. He doesn't quite use these precise words, but this is his clear meaning. Unless we return to America's founding principles, unless we return to the classical liberalism of yore, unless we return to a respect for the freedom and equality of all human beings, although we have a special responsibility for our own citizens, unless we return to toleration, unless we return to civility, unless we return to the rule of law, unless we return to a real understanding of freedom of speech and religious liberty. Returning, in other words, to America's basic convictions, norms, and practices, this, he thinks, is the way out, at least for the United States, to reverse what he regards as American decline.
And Peter, 30 seconds, did you get the impression that he was aspirational, or he believes these things can happen in time?
The problem is he doesn't tell us what steps we have to take to make them happen in time.
Peter Berkowitz, writing for the Civitas Outlook, Civitas Institute, on a new book by Robert Kaplan. This is CBS Eye on the World. I was hoping to be more encouraged, Mr. Berkowitz. This is John.
I know. I only have 30 seconds, but it's the truth. He says it is aspirational. All you guys need to do is once again be like Americans of yore.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.